Hello, this is Chris Parker with the Business Simplicity Podcast, and I had a really nice conversation with Jan Heinbachs, an old colleague, and he has started an advisory firm, Bounce and Steer, which helps the leadership of organizations, discover the truth, confront each other, and find a connection as a coalition so they can execute their strategy. It was an amazing conversation. But hey, Jan Hein, why would this really be valuable for people to listen to it?
Well, Chris, I think if people listen to this podcast, they should or they could take this as a moment for self-reflection. Why are we not doing the things that are really necessary to make our company or enterprise or organization a success? We've written it down, but we're not doing it. What are the real reasons for the blockage? For stopping us growing, developing. So, if you listen to the podcast and at the same time have those reflections, I think it will be worth your while.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where we learn about strategies and tactics to succeed through simplicity, with your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. This is Chris Parker, and I'm having a conversation with Jan Heinbachs, who has recently started his company Bounce and Steer. And I saw that on LinkedIn, and with the name like Bounce and Steer, it immediately caught my eye. Jan Hein and I worked together at LeasePlan, looking ahead his LinkedIn. I think he left around there 2005, 2006, and I left there in 2011. So we had, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of overlap there. And since then, he's been traveling around. I think lived in 8 countries and worked in multiple continents in various industries. And I'm just delighted to have him here and maybe pick his brain a little bit to get some of those insights out and discover what Bounce and Steer is all about. So, hey, Jan, maybe that's a great place to start. Is what is Bounce and Steer all about? And tell us that story.
Well, Chris, first of all, it's been a pleasure to just before this podcast, we chatted a little bit, and it's great to to be joined again. So thanks for inviting me. Yeah, Bounce and Steer. It is actually the method of talking to people in my various positions in different places and different market circumstances. Bouncing is actually just talking like I hope we do in this coming period, just bouncing ideas, questions, reactions, and in that way come closer to either a truth or a priority or a choice that we both want to achieve. And steering is actually after our discussion and we come to a sort of kind of agreement or priority or whatever, then steer the action in the direction that we both want. So it's bouncing and steering is actually towards the solutions we both wanted and agreed upon. So it's a method of working.
Method of working and communicating. I just when I was saying it, I also thought maybe there's something to do with rodeo. You're bouncing, but this is very, very
Well,
much.
sometimes it could be a rodeo, Chris, and I think, but that's actually interesting that you say that because sometimes it's not comfortable. I mean, asking certain questions and trying to get to the truth, finding out what people really mean. Well, sometimes that's not comfortable. Sometimes the answers they give to me are not comfortable, and I'm being put in a situation where you think, whoa, what do they mean with it? But I think that actually brings out the true reasons, the true emotions, and with that you can unlock basically what's behind people facade or political meaning or whatever. And that's the way how you simplify a lot of things by just asking and listening to what people say. You can actually simplify the issues or the problems. So sometimes it is like a rodeo. I agree with you.
Yeah, I can imagine work business can be like riding a rodeo. The the truth. Sometimes I wonder if there is a thing as truth, but I think we can, on business topics, start to move away or push away the haze or the confusion that either people are doing on purpose in some cases, but oftentimes it's just because of just overwhelm and work, and they're hustling so hard that they haven't actually stopped to reflect on what is the truth.
Yeah.
So with bouncing.
If I may, I mean, because that's a very interesting topic, and I agree with you. I mean, in business, it's probably, there is probably not one truth, but there are facts and opinions. And what I want to say is that sometimes through these discussions, you can cut through what is just an opinion towards what's a fact. And I wouldn't say that the fact is the truth, but it's a little bit more objective than a subjective opinion. And that is by asking a little questions, you come to a kind of a objectivity. And that's a good base for further development.
Well, I think you can start orienting on a truth. And if a truth is some sort of judgment about a fact on why did this happen or what does it mean, and that can be true to you. I could have a different truth, but if you are able to cut through those opinions and have a fact-based conversation, and then if you can align and agree on what we think the truth could be and have that being very overt, I think that can be hugely powerful. Hey, here's the metric, here's the trend, here's the data today. Do we agree this is a good thing or a bad thing? You know, that simple conversation can be so relieving, because like, oh, that's really a good thing. All right. Well, what can we learn to do more of that good thing? Or is this too good? You know, is something else, like, what is the consequence of that? And those are just amazing conversations.
Yeah. And I think that if you can, it's almost like an onion. You've got certain questions that you can ask in order to find out what the true problem of a matter is. For instance, is it a long-term or a short-term issue? Are we talking about the solution, or are we talking about the problem? Is it very urgent, or is it important? Is it an opinion, or is there a fact? What is the market circumstances around us? Very important. So are we just purely, is it internal focus, or are we aware of our surrounding? What is the status of the issue? Are we just starting? Is this new? Or is this an issue that's been around for a year? Those kind of questions, very simple questions, if you actually list them and list the answers, you peel to the onion, and then it's simpler to describe the process. If you can describe the process and what you want, then you can actually make it more efficient or more effective or even automate. Then I guess we're more in your, that's more your area. But asking questions in a structured way leads, in my opinion, to a good description of your priorities and the ability to make decisions and then steer. So that's bounce and steer.
And for, with whom do you bounce and steer? Like what types of organizations are you currently, or are you soon to be working with?
Yeah.
And solving what kind of problem? People probably need to be aware that they need some bouncing before they get on the rodeo. So what is that trigger that would normally say, hey, we need Jan Heim to come do some bouncing with us?
I think that there is not a specific company. It can be profit, non-for-profit. These are companies I'm confronted with, because I've been doing this, forever, and now I'm doing it as my own boss, basically, for my own company. But I help companies to get unstuck. So where you do have your strategy and people have their goals, but in a way they can't reach it. They're either too busy, or it's too political, or they don't have the right budget, or there are conflicting opinions or instructions. So there is a strategy, there are strategic goals, but there's no way that they achieve it. Well, that situation of being unstuck, that's, I like to use bounce and steer in order to get companies unstuck.
Let me grab onto those, because you said too busy, too political, not enough budget. When you engage with a group of people that are, and unfortunately I hear this more and more, like I'm too busy to talk about that, or if people are really believe they're too busy to have that dialogue and to seek the truth, how do you break through that? Like, what are some tactics or strategies that either you wake them up or calm them down, or because that's kind of, it's a hard pattern to break if people are they're in cowboy mindset, back to the radio thing, their cowboy mindset, they're just hustling, patting themselves on the back because they're just killing themselves at work, but they just don't take the time to reflect. How do you break that cycle?
Well, it's breaking the cycle starts with understanding what their issue is, because some people are just busy, very busy, just because they haven't understood what has been communicated in relation to, this needs to be done. And so they either didn't understand it, or the instructions just were not there. That's very different. I mean, haven't I been listening to instructions, and am I just not following the instructions? Or is there no instruction, and is there no vision? That's a huge, huge difference. And also the solution of that problem is different. So what I've seen in my career so far, when people got stuck, like there are instructions and there is a vision, but there's no follow-up, or there's no execution, it's either because there is no sense of urgency, there is no vision, that's A. B is there's no path to success. So if I do something else, do you tell me that that is the way to success? And C, and it's very important, and that's often in a management team or in a team of directors, they're actually not a team. It's a bunch of directors and managing put together with their own agenda, but there's no coalition. So it's either the urgency in the vision that's lacking and it's not there and should be there. There are many obstacles and people haven't got rid of the obstacles, so there's no clear path to success. Or it's actually a team issue, that there is no team, there is no common objective, there is no coalition, and there's just a mentality of working for yourself. So I think there is no golden nugget. And that's why I use these questions. And also I start with quite a simple stakeholder analysis. Who are the stakeholders and what are their issues? To understand, is it the urgency, the vision? Is it the path to the success? Or is it a coalition that's actually forcing people to be very busy, but not doing the things that are actually executing a strategy? So sorry for the long winding answer, but
No, I get it. I'm following.
There's not a one. There's not a one way. There are a few ways that could lead to unbreaking, unlocking this situation.
And the lack of coalition, I guess, is a synonym for political, meaning people are there doing their own thing, have their own agenda, not pulling in the same direction. So something I love,
Sorry to interrupt, Chris. I think you're right. Sometimes political is the reason for there not being a coalition. But some for instance, a company I'm working with last week, there was actually not that much political work in the background. It was more that people didn't didn't get clear instructions what the route to success was. So as there is no common route to success, people said, listen, I'm just doing my own thing and I like to do it well and I'm concentrated, I've got my focus and I've got my own team. There's no common ground and common direction. So it was actually not political. It was actually there was a lack of direction. So
I want to reach into that case a little bit and see if it has some other patterns that I've been seeing recently. Of course, keeping the organizations anonymous, but when I see that kind of pattern, I also typically see a chief or an executive who believes they have made it clear. And that person is pretty certain that I've given the clear instruction, but then everyone is sitting around scratching their heads. It's before we pressed record, I played volleyball at in the evenings on a senior team here in the Netherlands, and there's a guy on our team who's really good. I adore the guy, and we speak only Dutch on the team, and my Dutch is not perfect. I'm still taking two lessons a week, but there's I cannot understand the guy, and so it's like when he talks about the exercises, I'm thinking like I think I got it, but it's always something completely different than I thought. And I kind of think other people can't, the more native Dutch people also can't understand him. But it's a perfect case of where that person feels they have communicated a very clear and simple instruction, and everyone's standing there looking at each other, and they all start walking in different directions. I imagine there's that kind of pattern as well. Do you see those things go hand to hand?
Yeah, it's a very interesting observation, Chris, that I think you've got it's too simplified, but you've got CEOs that are visionaries and there are CEOs that are good in execution. Now, the problem that is when you ask a visionary to execute his vision, very often the knowledge to execute actually is not there. Mm-hmm. So if the instruction from a visionary comes in terms of do A and B, it's actually communicated. So he said it, but the information does not reach the right people because they don't understand what he's saying, because he's not using the right, he or she does not use the right language and instructions to make people act. The other thing is if a person who is just good in is good in execution and does not have a vision, then people lack a common feeling or purpose, etc. We often say the CEO has said it, but how she or he has said it and what she said are two very different things. So my advice often to CEOs was that before you're going to talk about execution or implementing your vision, talk with the people that are actually need to do it in order to find the right words and the right meaning to let it sink in. Because otherwise you've got a CEO who said, well, I've told it people 6 times and they're not doing it. And then you've got people on the ground that said, well, I don't understand a word of what he's saying. Even though both parties, try to do their thing with the best intentions.
And oftentimes with the best intentions. So the politics doesn't always need to be, say explicit or malicious. Sometimes it can be pretty confusing. You said you do a survey. Something I like to do when I do business design workshops is I have my set of questions, my format of 15 questions. I really like and pretty much demand that all the participants write out their answers and give some scores on that in isolation beforehand, because it's so often that people who might even feel they were on the same page, when they realize that, you know, one of my questions is, you know, describe your perfect customer. There's some other supporting questions around that, but it's so rare that two people would actually describe their customer in the same way.
And
that's fascinating. And it's not that everyone has to be following the same rule book exactly, but the spirit and the intent should be very similar. And oftentimes it's not. So what do you find when you use your survey with leaders and executives and managers? What do you look for in that? And what do you often see?
One of the fascinating things I see, and often that creates actually is the basis for a lot of confusion, is, are people debating the solution or are people debating the problem? And often I find, and that's why I use surveys to ask people what the biggest issues are, at least that's one of my questions. And very often, if you then enter into or open a discussion, it's almost like 50-50. People say, well, that's not really the problem, that's the solution, so let's not talk about the solution. So, and that's happening on a high level. And that's the way I would love to, or that's the way I love to use surveys to find out, are we talking here about a solution or are we talking about the problem? It's very simple, but in a survey, you can really ask people about, you know, what is the most disturbing or frustrating or what's keeping us back. Like you said, I also do it in isolation, ask people in isolation and then confront the group with the answer, of course, on an anonymous basis, but confront them on what the issues are. And then you see that even amongst them, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, there's a misunderstanding about what are we actually discussing here about. So yeah, that's where I would love to, or that's one of the questions I always love to include in a survey.
And I think let's after they go through this period of bouncing and discussing and truth finding and orienting and confronting and they, you know, eventually they get to a path. But the path is only executable, you know, it's only unlocked if they can do something with it. And I guess that's the steer part of it, meaning that the get moving, get going, get shit done. And how do you help them with that? Like what's...
The output of bounce and steer are actually two phases of what I call the three phases of alignment, no? There should be alignment on the start. So what is the problem actually? And investing quite some time in that first phase before the execution, because normally we love to talk about a problem, but then discussing the problem for 15 minutes and then we got the solution and we move to execution. I think it's you gain speed by being slower in the first part and actually gain alignment on the start and how should we start and what do we want to achieve. And to actually spend quite some time there on, are we actually aligned? Do we know what we want to achieve and how we want to achieve it and when we want to achieve that? That's the first alignment, let's say. And then the second alignment, just before execution, is actually, what are the major roadblocks? So what blocks should we move away before we actually start executing? Because normally the people that can make the right decisions to unblock are there at that meeting. So that's the second part of alignment. What blocks our execution? And then the execution part, of course, is very important, but that is about controlling and making sure you've got the right control parts in place. But like I said, that's the third part of alignment.
It's steering. Is the phone talking to you, or is that my phone? Is that your
side or my side? I don't know whose phone it is.
Not my. So technology interrupting us.
Technology. That's it. No, but I mean, I think so. You're right. It's the steering part, but the steering part actually comes after the two phases of alignment. Alignment on the start and the objective, and the alignment of what are the major roadblocks. Because we seem to, and you know it, I think, much better than I do, but in the execution phase, actually, we spend quite some time on removing roadblocks. And that is just frustrating, because we should do that earlier in the process.
Well, but I thought, roadblocks. I mean, there's mechanical roadblocks, meaning you know physical things in the middle of the way, but then there's also the human resistance to change type of roadblocks. And I'm really curious, because you've lived in more countries than I have, you mentioned Canada on your LinkedIn. I see Texas. And what I also see is I'm going to some cultural dimensions here. Looking at a typical Dutch, a typical American, or North American, Canadians are certainly not Americans, but Dutch people seem to really need to debate and discuss up front a lot in order to create that consensus, and then they get going. Yeah. Whereas I think a typical sort of Anglo hierarchical American or English, someone often says, well, we're going that way, and then they have a ton of resistance to change. And I guess there's a balance to be had there of aligning first on problem that we're actually solving, and then aligning on solution. So getting some coherence there and debating that out, and then making that decision to go, but do it in a way which embarks people on the journey, meaning somehow includes them on it.
Yeah.
And I guess when you say alignment, that's what I take away from the word alignment, meaning people have consciously and emotionally checked into that journey. And is that what you mean to it? And how do you do that? How do you get people in the game?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what I said just a few minutes ago. No, that is this a team? Is this a team of individuals that got their individual targets, or is it actually a coalition towards finding a solution for the problem? And I think that's just a question. I find it very powerful to ask that question. Are you here for finding a solution to a common problem, or are you here basically to find a solution for your problem? And I think that is very often one of the roadblocks. And having a discussion, that's my experience of working with different cultures, just asking the question up front can actually alleviate a lot of tension during the process. Because it could very well be that people say, listen, let's get going. We know there will be some roadblocks, but we'll find a solution. We're together, we're a team, we'll find a solution, which is more the American approach. Like, okay, but once we know the target, we go there and I feel I can trust you, then let's go for it. And then if there's a roadblock, we'll organize it in such a way that we'll find a solution. So that's approach A, but you only get that answer if you actually ask the question. Dutch people would be more like, ho, wait a minute, wait a minute. We know that our likely threat, this and this could be the roadblock. Let's discuss them now, because then we've done it. And then we can move on. We can move on faster later on. I don't think there's a truth, like we said at the beginning of our discussion. There's no truth. The only thing is important is that we found common ground, coalition on the way we should approach it. And that's one of the reasons why you should have that up front and not during the process. So there is not one way to find a solution. The only good way is to have a common approach on it and have understanding and trust.
Coalition, understanding, trust. I wish your insights for many organizations, and what's resonating within me is having worked in organizations which are not a coalition, that do not have clarity of intent, and maybe not even maliciously, but are lacking that trust and confidence that you have each other's backs because you're pulling in the same direction, and those work environments just aren't fun. It's not nourishing. You don't grow. You don't flourish. And so this is why I get excited when I'm listening to you, because it's like, oh, you know, yes, we need this.
And there's something else, Chris, and that's almost like how do you call it, the Stockholm syndrome, when you fall in love with the one that actually takes you hostage. Sometimes we are in the process and people say we are in the process, so let's continue. And I think it's much better to have a discussion on, are we actually a coalition to find a solution for the problem? Are we just working? Are we just busy bees? Because that's also fine. That's a decision. And say, let's stop this process now. I mean, then we could all be more efficient and effective doing our own thing. I think it's a shame, but that's actually much better than just continuing. And people get very frustrated by being pulled in a project that actually has no urgency, no budget, no clarity, no clear instructions, no path to success, no end date. I mean, I personally think that is ludicrous. That is wasting a lot of time, attention, effort, and talents.
It's wasting just human life energy. It's
That's it. And it's much better to say, let's stop this. Let's not do it for another year, because it's not working. And Chris, it's much easier to make that decision at the start of a project than in the middle of a project. But in the middle of the project, you should have the courage to say to each other, listen, it's not working. It's frustrating the hell of me. Let's stop and let's reconvene in half a year after we settled after dust has settled.
It does take courage, I think what I would invite people, as we're wrapping up the conversation, that if you're feeling in your organization and your leadership team that you're not that coalition, and that you don't have that space to do that reflection, and are we doing the right things at the right time and with the right people, and you need to bring in some bottled courage, then maybe bouncing steers is what you need. And you can find Jan Hein on LinkedIn, and also his website, which is literally bounceandsteer.com, I think.
That's right. www.bounceandsteer.com.
Bounceandsteer.com. And there was no rodeo bull on the website. There's some other nice stories and anecdotes, which is fun to read. But lovely to be reconnected. I was excited and curious when I saw that Bounce and Steer was launched.
And great.
Thank you for taking the time and care to come and share the vision and how you're working with organizations.
Well, thanks so much, Chris. And I love actually the way we started the conversation. Also, one of your, I think, driving force behind what you're doing, and that is simplicity. And I think that's also one of the key things, you know, don't be afraid of going or trying to find out the simplicity in what you want to achieve. That's very often the keys to success.
Let's take a moment, but I know we have a hard stop soon. So just to go down the rabbit hole, and for me, and just to use the language, the lack of coalition on a management team is for me one of the biggest drivers of complexity in an organization. Yeah. Because if people are working in isolation and solving their problems without looking at the whole problem, then they're basically just adding Lego blocks onto this massive pile of noise. And simplicity is hard work. It requires that discipline, engagement, and discussion to say, okay, well, what is the true problem, the true essence of the problem, which is crossing these boundaries and should require give and take. And so in order to solve the bigger problem, maybe that adds a little more complicatedness or complexity to one function, but it might actually remove a whole set of problems over here.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at enterprise simplicity, you that's not a solo job. And so you bounce and steer it. Let's drive simplicity. So yeah. Thanks for making that connection.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Visit ebullient.com to download the Simple Business Design Framework. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.